Hi, everybody. This is The Simpsons Show. I am Robbie with my co-host, Matt, and we are here to talk about The Simpsons from the beginning. Matt, how are you doing?
Sweaty and ready to talk Simpsons.
That's kind of gross, but thank you for that information.
Well, you asked.
That's true. How dare I ask questions? This week, we are discussing episode 7G10, Homer's Night Out. That's the 10th episode of season 1. It is written by John Beatty, directed by Rich Moore. It originally aired March 25th, 1990. A chalkboard gag is, "I will not call my teacher hotcakes," which is, you know, that's fun. That's nice.
Although with a teacher like Mrs. Krabappel, I can't imagine him actually saying that a lot.
Well, you know, he does, was it Bart the Lover?
That's true.
Yeah, okay. Couch gag is the couch collapses, which apparently was the same as Homer's Odyssey. So they... already reusing couch gags. Did not take very long. The episode starts off with Homer kind of... it's a very strange, like, little sequence where Homer starts off weighing himself. He's in the bathroom. He weighs himself. He's shocked that he weighs 239 pounds. He talks to Marge about his assistant, Eugene Fisk. And then we cut to Bart basically ordering a spy camera from a comic book. He flips through all those ads that used to be in comic books, those like silly like X-ray specs and you know, build your muscles, like, you know, all those kind of ads. And then he sees a spy camera, actually gets his money from it's a nice little callback to Homer's Odyssey. The piggy bank is taped together. So it's a nice little throwback to the earlier episode. And he orders a spy camera. And then we jump forward, I guess, to Homer again in the bathroom, again being shocked that he weighs 239 pounds. Homer's actually shaving. I think that's interesting to note. I don't really think of how many shows you actually see people like doing personal hygiene.
That's true, and it's funny because it's one of the few episodes where he shaves and then his 5 o'clock shadow comes immediately back.
Yeah, it makes that little noise. Does it make the little noise? Bop.
Yep, and it actually does it again about 3 episodes later in Some Enchanted Evening. So they really got a lot of that gag in the first season, but I don't think it ever comes back after that.
But I think that's just to sell the amount of time that it takes to get that crap from the back of a comic book, and the fact that he's now going to Eugene Fisk's stag party, who is now his supervisor.
He was his assistant, now he's a supervisor. He did think the hot girl in Valve Maintenance, which seriously, Valve Maintenance, come on, liked him, and now he's getting married to her.
Yeah, they're now together, and he's going to a party. Marge is a little suspicious about, you know, what kind of party this is, and Homer's like, no, it's a, what was it? Tea and crumpets. Yeah, tea and crumpets affair. There is and then we see a nice little sequence of Bart meeting the female man, as he calls her, and Lisa calls her the female carrier at the door. He's waiting for his spy camera. There's a nice little sequence of him like angrily asking, "Where's my spy camera?" I think it's a really nice sequence, and we'll play it now.
Lady, where's my spy camera? Where's my spy camera?
Where's my spy camera? Here's your stupid spy camera!
Oh, thanks, man.
We jump to this, and we get a little montage of Bart taking the pictures. Usually embarrassing ones of the family. We get a little POV of Homer, like, doing toe touches, and he takes a picture of that. Homer's angry, obviously. Marge shaving her armpits, which is another weird thing. You really never see women shaving their armpits on television.
That's true, but Marge is the modern woman. She does it with an electric razor, like all the cool kids.
And she's very upset that he's taking pictures. And then eventually, of course, Bart is trying to take a picture of his own. But Homer out for the night. Marge takes the kids to the Rusty Barnacle, with Homer also, apparently, the party is also at the Rusty Barnacle. So both him and the rest of the family at the same restaurant. Homer's, like, secluded away in this smoky room full of cigars. Everyone's smoking cigars. We get the first glimpse of Carl. We've seen Lenny before. Carl finally makes his first appearance, even though he has a very strange voice.
He kind of sounds like Lenny, actually, in his first
appearance. Yeah, it's a little, like, it's like that kind of, it's a Lenny-esque voice. It's not the same, but it's kind of similar. Eugene and his father are there, and they're both being very corny, you know, talking about how they love each other, and his father tells a little story about him.
It's funny because apparently Eugene and his father thought it was going to be a very tea and crumpets kind of thing, because that's how they're acting.
Yes, they are. They bring out Princess Cashmere, like, basically a belly dancer. Like, a lot of the show acts like she's a stripper or something. She's really just a belly dancer. at least for this event. She's not taking her clothes off. She's just kind of in skippy. She's in like a, basically a bikini and is dancing, you know, kind of with a Middle Eastern soundtrack.
Well, maybe people were just more conservative back in the 90s. Maybe that was more shabby.
Okay. We'll touch on that later too. We also hear Moe's voice in that segment. Like, it seems to come from Lenny. I'm not sure. It's very odd. There is a very brief point where Moe's voice comes from someone. But Princess Kashmir comes in and is dancing. Both Eugene and his father, like, think this is the worst thing ever. I believe his father's exact words are something like that they're in hell. Which, she's just dancing. It's really not that explicit. She eventually beckons Homer, and he jumps up on a table with her, and they start dancing. And Homer, honestly, is dancing like a dad dances.
He really is. He's just kind of shaking his hips a little bit. He's got his giant stomach out there, gyrating wildly.
Yeah, he's not being, like, really lascivious about it. He's not even touching her. He's just kind of dancing next to her and being like a dad. Like, that's what I got from it. But at the same time, the family's eating dinner. Bart orders squid with extra tentacles to be gross, and it turns out he doesn't actually want to eat squid with extra tentacles. They do, like, a very cartoony thing here where he turns green. Like, that's a very, like, a little too cartoony for The Simpsons, I think.
It's true. It was the first season. I think they were just trying to find their line. But, yeah, they don't really do that ever again. But I thought the actual funnier joke was he changed the cod platter sign to call Pet Rat.
Yeah, apparently, yeah, the writer on the commentary had said that it took him like half a day to come up with that anagram. And then Matt Groening like made fun of him, like, they have like anagram things on the internet now where it does everything for you. Where you don't have to worry, you don't have to like take all day to think of an anagram, which is really...
Well, to be fair, the internet in 1990 was a tape machine in someone's basement.
Hey, multiple people's basements.
Sorry, you're right, multiple people's basements.
Multiple people's basements had tape machines, all right? And they were talking. They're saying, hey.
The Simpsons thing is big.
Bart ends up seeing... He sneaks his head into what, like, this raucous party that was bothering them. And he uses his spy cam to take a picture of Homer dancing with Princess Kashmir. We cut to him in the school's photo club. Which is another, like, kind of anachronistic thing in this episode. Like... That I guess schools have photography clubs. I think colleges do. I don't think high schools have, like, they have maybe like the art of photography, but there's no developing anymore for the most part. I mean, digital photography has come so far. There's not really a need for like actual dark rooms and all that stuff.
True, and I expect there were actually a lot of photography clubs in high schools and maybe middle schools in the 80s, but I doubt an elementary school would have one. I don't think the children have the manual dexterity to develop pictures.
Yeah, they're so we're like in this red, everything's red. It actually looks kind of neat because it, you know, it has this red tint to everything. But Bart's developing all his pictures. Martin and all the other kind of quote unquote nerdy kids are throwing on around very smart photography references, you know, to photographers of like the 50s and 60s.
That's true. Martin, unsurprisingly, because he's the dorky kid, asks, who's the sexy lady? Whereas some other kid just keeps spouting off famous photographers like Helmut Newton. It's like, that kid, he's something special right there. He's going to find out a lot about himself in high school.
Milhouse asks for a copy of the picture. And apparently Milhouse is in this photography club as well. But he gives Milhouse the picture. A nice little give and take of them where Bart makes him promise not to spread it around. Like, cross your heart and hope to die. And there's a really long, nice little... I think it really emphasizes, like... I remember as a child saying having these long things we said to each other, you know, when we had to make promises and stuff. And I think this is really wonderful. And we actually have that clip.
Will you swear not to let another living soul get a copy of this photo?
Okay.
Cross your heart and hope to die?
Yep.
Stick a needle in your eye?
Yep.
Jam a dagger in your thigh?
Yep.
Eat a horse manure pie?
Yep.
Well, okay.
That's another one of the things the show gets right is that it makes the kids like sound like kids. This picture spreads around. We see, you know, we see Reverend Lovejoy get his hands on it. We see Mr. Burns get his hands on it. They each have their own little commentary. Finally, Marge apparently is in her like aerobics class in her unitard, and she sees it up on the bulletin board, and she's shocked. Homer, you know, he stops at the Quickie Mart on the way home, and multiple people already recognize him. Like, he makes a reference that he's not, you know, I'm not Fred Flintstone. along those lines.
Well, it's obvious that Springfield's a very, very small town, because usually things didn't spread like this before the internet, so hopefully, you know.
It's notable, really, for the Fred Flintstone reference. I think they already were aware of the similarities. And there, if you catch in the background, there's even a shot of the picture tacked up in the Quickie Mart. So to show how far it spread in less than a day. Homer gets home, immediately confronted by Marge. She's very upset, very angry. Definitely the angriest we've seen Marge so far in the show. Bart also walks by, recognizes this picture. Homer goes to choke Bart, is stopped by Marge, who like chokes him for a second, which is a nice little play on that kind of signature the show already has. She basically throws him out of the house, you know, tells him to sleep somewhere else, throws his clothes at him. I think the major problem with this episode, the fact that it comes right after Life on the Fast Lane.
That's true. It seems incredibly hypocritical of Marge, who literally was on her way to have sex with another man, and here Homer danced with a belly dancer.
I see her being upset, and the point she makes later on, which we'll get to, I think is cogent, but the fact that she's so angry she throws him out, and this episode comes right after when she almost has an affair with another guy, it suffers a lot from that. And the fact that this picture isn't that explicit. I think that the fact that, you know, the idea of the, you know, the nude selfie and stuff like that is kind of just omnipresent in our culture now. Looking back, and it's innocent. It's so innocent of a picture. It might imply more, but everyone's like, oh, look at this crazy picture. I'm like, it's not that crazy. It's like, if you were at the beach, it's less than that.
Well, I think one thing, pictures like that were a lot harder to come by, so back in the 90s, so maybe that's why it spread so much, you know? Kids got a hold of this in the way they couldn't get a hold of Playboy.
You're telling me that I'm fairly certain that they've seen a Play Dude magazine before. I don't, just kids, it's the adults too. They're like, you see adults like, look, get ahead of this picture, ha ha ha. I'm like, it's not that, like, those adults have seen worse things.
True, but I think another portion of it is, I think Marge is quite upset that Homer lied to her about what the party was about. And I think that plays a small portion of it, but you're right, this is a huge overreaction on her part.
Homer ends up staying at Barney's, which is a dive. It's like the worst apartment in the world. Apparently they modeled it after several of the writers' apartments they shared after college, which it makes sense. It looks like a kid who just got out of college and makes no money. He gets called, he's at work the next day, talks with Mr. Burns, which this is a very strange sequence where Burns chews him out at first, but then he tells Smithers to leave the room and then asks him for advice.
It's weird. It's funny because in later episodes, Smithers is there for absolutely everything, and this is kind of a weird departure from that. I mean, obviously it's one of the first episodes with Mr. Burns and Smithers, and they haven't established their whole dynamic yet. But it's just weird that he's like, hey, yeah, I gotta be seen as a family man, but on the side, you know, what can I do to be a little Lothario?
Yeah, and I think that's where most of the humor in this episode comes from, is everyone treating Homer like he's some Don Juan, when he's really still just very dumb Homer. He spews out some crap advice to Mr. Burns, what you'd expect. Mr. Burns like, I won't forget this, Simpson. They've already began that. Mr. Burns immediately forgets Homer as soon as he leaves the room. He comes home, but, you know, kind of sheepishly sneaks in, talks to the kids first in like quiet whispers. I think that's a very nice little touch. Where you're like, how's mom doing? You know, she's still pretty upset. Like, his shirt has like a little wrinkle to it. I really like it when they add that little touch.
It's true. That seems to be their go-to thing. Whenever Homer's in trouble, or you know that he's been out and he hasn't had Marge take care of him, is when his shirt is.
Yeah, there's like it's just a little bit of wavy, and he looks a little roughshod. It really points to the fact that he is helpless without her. He really needs her to take care of him, or they come back to that in later episodes. That, you know, his complete reliance on her is part of his charm. Marge is still upset, not as bad as she was the night before, and she basically lays out why she's upset to him. He apologizes, and she explains to him that she's not necessarily upset. You know, him lying to her is part of it, but he has given a bad, shown it, set a bad example for Bart. That it's basically objectifying women, that his this picture and the fact that he was dancing with this woman. I think that actually is the thing that is kind of the most important about this episode, is that this idea is actually pretty impressive to be coming out of this show so early on and at this time. Like, objectification of women is, like, still a huge problem with pop culture and culture in general, but this is, like, it's 25 years ago, and the fact that they're bringing it up on primetime television, I think, is a big deal. It's something that still people shy away from in popular culture.
Well, that's true. I mean, even today we see it a lot thanks to the internet, and everyone is more apt to call out things like this. But back in those days, the objectification of women, that was a plot on sitcom after sitcom, drama after drama, all those things. And here's The Simpsons calling it out, saying, hey guys, you know, maybe we shouldn't be doing this. As it makes me think, and especially Homer's speech at the end of the episode, that anyone who criticized this episode for its, or this series, The Simpsons, for their moral failings in the first season could not have possibly watched the show. Because, honestly, The Simpsons is never more of a moral anchor than it is in the first season.
No, I completely agree that they really hammer home a lot of those kind of morality plays, especially in this first season. From this point in the show, we get, like, basically, Marge wants Homer to show Bart that this dancer is an actual woman, that she's not just, like, a sex object. And so, to do this, they go on a tour of basically every, like, seedy, dive, strippy, semi-strip club place in Springfield. Like, they go to Foxy Boxing and, quote-unquote, Mud World, looking for this woman who's... goes by the name of April Flowers when she's not Princess Cashmere. I think it's very funny that to show, like, Homer is constantly, like, he's going from place to place and they talking to these people trying to find her, and they're like, no, she's over at this place tonight. She's over at this place tonight. And telling Bart to look at the floor.
Which he's obviously not doing.
No, he's a 10-year-old kid. He's gonna look around. It's kind of, like, you know, clashing with the message they're trying to send to him. They end up eventually in this place called the Sapphire Lounge, which is basically a cabaret. It's not really a strip club.
Honestly, a lot of these places that they go to don't really seem to be, you know, super cheap. There's one place holding a wet t-shirt, and that's, you know, worse, but a lot of them just seem to be burlesque places. Like you said, they're not actual strip joints where, you know, they're actual naked women.
No. But
maybe that's just because of what they could get away with on primetime TV.
Yeah, this episode is a victim of that up to a certain extent. They eventually, Homer finally founds her backstage at the Sapphire Lounge, where they end up. And he basically starts talking to her. He wants Bart to understand she talks a little bit about herself. Her real name is Shauna Tifton. Homer eventually ends up, like, stuck on her cage because she's, like, in this bird cage that floats up in the air as this lounge singer is, like, on stage, like, doing a singing a dance number with all the girls. The stage reveals him hanging on for dear life. She's trying to kick him off. Eventually he falls. Right in the middle of the stage, rolls down the stairs, and, you know, the lounge singer doesn't recognize him at first. The lounge singer's name, I don't even think they say this in the episode, but I was very curious. His name is Gulliver Dark.
That's a weird name for somebody.
Yeah, I don't allow it to name, but he's actually a guest. There is a guest star in this. His name is Sam McMurray. That name didn't really ring a bell to me, but I looked at his face. He's one of those guys, you know, the ones you recognize. Character actor, plays a lot of bit parts and a lot of different things. If you see his face, you'll immediately recognize him. He does a really good job in this really small part. When Homer stands up, he actually recognizes him as the guy from the picture. He calls him Homer Simpson Party Guy. He
calls him a real swinging cat.
That's another one of those. I think that's the funniest part to me, was all these kind of things that make Homer, and especially in the first season, is just the daddest guy around. This, like, when he's around his kids, he makes dad jokes. He doesn't dance like a young dude. Like, he shows the fact that he's a parent.
A parent and an old guy. He just, that's kind of how his thing is. And they expand that in later seasons. But really, he never strays really far from the, I'm a dad, I'm a married man, I'm not very smart. That seems to be Homer's go-to thing.
Yeah. And he gets pulled into this, like, dance kick line, I guess you could call him, with a whole bunch of chorus girls, like, doing high kicks, and he's in there with them doing kicks. Marge is in the audience. We do not know he told her on a payphone that they were going to the Sapphire Lounge. I don't know. They do not show her going there. She's just there because of this convenience.
Along with Mr. Burns and Smithers.
Yeah, who are, they're double dating with twins? They're with two women that look exactly the same. I'm fairly certain they're supposed to be twins.
Well, you know, Mr. Burns is a rich and powerful man. Maybe he got a set of twins and Smithers is just there.
I guess so. I don't think Mr. Burns knows anyone else, you know, that's as close to him as Smithers, so I guess it makes sense they would be double dating, even though Homer realizes, you know, this is not what he came here for. He stops everything after singing a little number with the lab singer. Gives this, like, this speech to the audience about, you know, these are not just sex objects, these are our wives, our daughters, our nieces and nephews. Not our nephews, wait, yeah, not our nephews. And it's, you know, it's this impassioned speech. All the audience members start, you know, tearing up, and they start showing them all the other people, like their pictures of their kids and their spouses and all that stuff. And then we see Marge and Homer embrace. And, you know, Marge is really crying. Homer has, like, a few tears. And, you know, they kiss. Bart ends the episode with a really funny line. I think the funniest line for me was, "Only sick people want to see my folks kiss."
That's true. And it's so funny because, like you said earlier, the interactions in this episode between kids or involving kids are so incredibly perfect. They are exactly what a kid would say every single time. It's like, I don't think any of the writers at this point, most of them didn't have kids, but they obviously paid attention to them when they were writing these characters.
I agree, and I think that's a lot of this humor comes from Bart and from the Thario Homer, if you want to call him that. There's not a lot to this episode. It's a weird
one. Well, it's a very sitcom-y episode. It's basically a silly premise and what spills out of that. And I mean, it's even weirder in the center when Marge says, "Oh, I'm not disappointed in you for, you know, cheating on me or doing this. I'm disappointed in the example you set for Bart," which honestly, I didn't really see that coming the first time I saw this episode.
No, it's odd, and it suffers from what we were talking about earlier, that, you know, the photo isn't that crazy. It comes right after the episode with Marge almost having an affair with Jacques, and there's a lot of things in this that are very kind of anachronistic. The photo lab, like, everyone has a camera now. Everyone has a camera in their pocket. It doesn't really mean anything anymore. This is one of those first season episodes where Homer has done far worse things now. He goes to Vegas and gets married, for God's sake, with another woman.
Well, this was obviously the warm-up to things like that, you know. He starts at the Rusty Barnacle and he works his way out to Vegas.
Yeah, it's just, and Marge has a much less strong reaction about it at those points. And I think in a vacuum, this show's, you know, it's an average to good first season episode. I mean, it's fine. It's not bad. It's just, it's in a first season episode. Important things in it, especially that the kind of mention of the objectification of women, I think that's the really thing to take away from this episode. But for the most part, it's not a gut buster like some of the episodes are. It's not really emotional like some of the episodes are. It's just kind of, I would say it's very similar to kind of Call of the Simpsons. I would say it's similar to that in a lot of ways.
That's true. It's like you said, it's got a little bit of humor, a little bit of moralizing, but nothing really stands out. There aren't any allusions to anything, you know, really great in it. It's just not exceptional.
And we will rank that right after we get into our listener question of the week. Listener question for this week was, what is your favorite Marge episode and why? Again, you guys are giving us great answers. Not hurting that the marathon is going on right now. It's certainly, all these episodes are very fresh in people's minds. So you give me great answers. On Twitter, we got Brandon at Funny Film Fan. It's a streetcar named Marge, my all-time favorite episode. Marge puts herself first for a change. Maggie gets a storyline too, which is great songs. And I completely agree. Maggie with the escaping the Ayn Rand school for toddlers or whatever it was.
I was going to say is that you have to develop the bottle within.
Caroline at Karolinski, brush with greatness because her love for Ringo is adorable. John at ChoppaStyle311, Marge be not proud, teaches the life lesson. Everything is better on Power Drive. From Facebook, we have Chris S., streetcar named Marge. Obviously, that's a big one. That's probably the most popular answer this week. A huge thing that has been discussed throughout the first handful of podcasts is emotion. There's no episode that shows Marge an emotional light quite like this episode. The scene that stands out and always has is the scene where she's talking to Homer on the payphone after she originally auditions. So much sad. That really is a very touching moment. She, like, you've never seen her so down because you know, she's really trying so hard at something. Matt B, The Twisted World of Marge Simpson. So many great moments. Two that kill me every time. Luann Van Houten saying, Marge, you can't keep up with the go-go 90s. And the epic fight scene at the end between Fat Tony's mafia cronies and the Yakuza. Classic. From Reddit, we have Professor Lava Hot. I really like that name. I often see scenes from Class Struggle in Springfield listed as one of Fewer's least favorite episodes from the early seasons. I don't think it's justified. Coming from a family where a big event is driving 4 hours to a crummy outlet mall for a discount TV, Marge starts to get a glimpse of how the Richard side of Springfield lives and learns from her mistaken belief that richer equals better. If you're not into that, there's excellent Burns lines and a Homer golf caper, but his B-plot is directly dependent on Marge's A-plot, a setup which I think marks the best episodes. I tend to agree with you on that one. We have Cody Ave. In Marge We Trust, we see a strong side of Marge, get a little backstory on Reverend Lovejoy, and Homer finds out why he's Mr. Sparkle. That's another great one. Matt, what is your favorite Marge episode?
I actually have to go with an early one. I want to go with Itchy and Scratchy and Marge, because Marge, obviously, her character develops a lot more in the later seasons, but in the early seasons, she's marked by this complete lack of understanding of her children. I mean, she tries really hard, and in this episode, I think is a great example of when she thinks she's doing the right thing by being Itchy and Scratchy, but in reality, it's not really hurting anyone, but she can't really see that. So she's trying to help her kids, and she does it in a sledgehammer type way, where she's just trying to knock out something that she thinks is bad for them, but she doesn't take the time to actually talk to them. But she's doing it in a very loving way, and they never lose sight of that in this episode. They never portray Marge as just wanting to do this for no reason. You never lose sight of the fact that she wants to do it to help her family.
No, it's very true. And I think that episode shines a light on a lot of the criticism the Simpsons got in its early seasons, you know, from Mrs. Bush saying it's the dumbest thing she's ever seen. You know, a lot of criticism from the conservative media and kind of political culture that, you know, this is Simpsons is garbage. And I think that they were kind of addressing the fact that, yes, cartoons, you know, they were not hurting anybody. And that episode also covers that, which I think is also really wonderful. And the fact that it doesn't make Marge necessarily a villain. She just doesn't quite understand it. I think it even makes it better.
That's true. Marge is not the villain. In this case, the villain is ignorance. And you don't see that a lot. They do it really well.
My favorite Marge episode is Brush with Greatness. I like it. It's again showing Marge pursuing her own hobby, and it's very charming that she loves Ringo Starr. Like Ringo is, you know, as the, you know, the kind of the least popular Beatle, the fact that he's the one she loves so much, and her painting Mr. Burns, like, by this point, Mr. Burns is a pretty reprehensible figure, and it's very kind of beautiful to me that she finds the way to portray him sympathetically. Like, he's so physically fragile, and that's how she finds a way for us to empathize with Mr. Burns in a way that the show really hasn't done yet. And also has Ringo, and it has John Lovitz. Guest star as the art teacher. It's really also really wonderful in that.
He does several incredible guest stars, and I mean, as somebody already mentioned, what's the one with Marge in the play? Streetcar Named Desire. When she's doing Streetcar Named Desire, John Lovitz is in that episode as well. He seems to really like to do the Marge episodes.
I don't know why. I guess it just ends up that way. But yeah, he's like her muse.
Almost. That's true. Isn't he already Ziff as well?
He is already Ziff as well. That's true.
Man, they really...
That's weird. We're going to have to talk about that when we get to the subsets. That's interesting. Listener question of the week next week is, what is your favorite store in Springfield? There are many of them over the years. We have lots of gags built entirely around the names of stores. I'm very interested to see what you guys come up with. I think I already have mine. Usually these questions, like one thing immediately springs to your mind, and it's hard to sway yourself away from that, but we'll see. You can find us on Twitter at Simpsons Show Pod. You can get us on, like us on Facebook, facebook.com/TheSimpsonsShowPod. You can email us, SimpsonsShowPod@gmail.com. Finally, we're going to end this week the way we end every week with a segment we call Best Episode Ever.
Best Episode Ever.
Where we rank the episodes categorically as we watch them chronologically. This week, I would put this right. I compared this to The Call of the Simpsons. Would you put it above or below that, Matt? I don't think it's better than Bart. It's definitely not better than Bart the Genius.
Oh, definitely not. You're right. It is really tough to compare and call The Simpsons in this. It depends if you like the moralizing more or you like the actual comedy more. Personally, I'm a comedy kind of guy, so I would go just below Call of the Simpsons because I think Call of the Simpsons is a little bit funnier.
Yeah.
But it's very subjective, but that's where
I agree with you. This show is really, it suffers a lot from the fact, I think if they had put it earlier in the show, I think it would have done, like if it had been the fourth episode or something, like, or third episode, like before Life on the Fast Lane, I think it would have actually enriched both of those episodes, but it didn't. So I would agree, right below Call of the Simpsons. I would put it number 8 on our list, right below Call of the Simpsons, right above Simpsons Roasting on Fire, still leaving Bart the General as the King of the Mountaintop as the best episode ever so far. What are we doing next week, Matt? What's next week's episode?
One of my favorites, The Crepes of Wrath.
Yeah, Crepes of Wrath is a very good episode. We'll have to see if that can, where that cracks in our list. I'm already excited about it. And with that, folks, I think it'll bring us to a close. Before we go, you can, if you guys want to find me on Twitter, I'm at Mixmaster Serial. It's MixmasterCereal. Matt does not participate in social media.
That's true. I've been banned.
You can't find him. Until next week, I am Robbie.
And I'm Matt.
And keep watching The Simpsons.